Shawa Tux Knusum Slama, thank you and welcome to Juno Afternoon from community supported KTOO. I'm Boss Christopher. You may also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. On this special Tuesday, November 18th edition, local band Sunny Porch, which is made of the duo of Melanie Brown and Marcus Beckman, just released their album, The Sound of This Place. They'll play some tunes and chat with us about its creation. We preview this Friday's Outcry auction event with the Juno-Gastineau Rotary Club, an effort that supports their local youth projects and more. We find out how you can get involved. That's coming up on this Tuesday edition of Juno Afternoon.
Hands and grass. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Thingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakalat Florence Marks Shakley. The word this week is douche.
Douche.
That means cat. And here's a sentence.
Douche.
This cat here is not ours. Let's hear it again.
Douche.
Cat. Gunnish Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukanidi man. She grew up on Mark's Trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in documenting, teaching, and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juno area for decades now.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You may also join us on our live stream via KTOO's YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook pages. You can even leave a comment, and I might see it. This Friday, November 21st, at the Moose Lodge, the Juno-Gastineau Rotary is hosting its annual auction that is evolving and growing. It's got an online silent auction as well as an in-person outcry. It's all to help support the efforts of the group and their work both in local youth programs and larger global projects. I am joined now in the studio by Rotarian Tammy Bowman to share more with us. Gunath Chi, Shayigudi. Thank you so much, Tammy. It's a pleasure to have you here. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you, Boston, for having me.
Of course. So let's start first, before we get to the auction and the cool programs and all the things that is about this event that's happening. Sometimes I just want to clear up because people sometimes get confused about what is Rotary. Let's start there. Just remind everybody, what is the Rotary?
Rotary. We are a club of professionals that want to do good in the world mostly. And it's a way for us to get to know each other across professions. Mm. So maybe someone, you know, is in banking and you're a music teacher, and it's a way for you to get to know each other and get to work on our Rotary things.
The projects that you do, right? Because I know it's like it's a great way to network and find people because you have weekly meetings and you do that. And I think there's – how many clubs in Juneau now? There's four?
I think there's four. We have – oh, my goodness. We have Juneau Gastineau Rotary, which is my club, the Glacier Valley Rotary, the Downtown Rotary Club, and the Innovators Club.
The Innovators Club. Okay, so there's four Rotary Clubs. And what I recall from the Rotary Clubs, and not only is it a place to meet those people that you work with or may not get to network with on a normal basis, but part of it is service above self, right? It's
Absolutely.
Really about servicing the community as leaders, as people who want to get involved. It's a place to do that. And you don't have to – there's no requirements to necessarily join Rotary, right? You just have to have somebody sponsor you. Like Tammy could sponsor me and I could join Rotary. Right, okay.
There's an annual dues, but that just covers costs. So.
Right. That's just what you're paying to be part of the club. And then you do all this good work. So and each week when you have a meeting, a lot of times there's a speaker, right? There's somebody who's from the community who's coming and telling you about their services or programs as well.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And then and the Juneau Gastineau Rotary, do you still meet in the early morning? Are you the early morning crew still?
Well, they think it's early. It's 7 a.m. on Thursday mornings at TK McGuire's.
Okay, wait. That's not early?
I don't think it's early. I do Toastmasters at 6:15 on another day. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. I get you. I'm an afternoon guy. So, you know, that's the afternoon show. I'm an afternoon guy. Anyway. But you have those meetings, but then you also work on projects, right?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about the Rotary projects. I know there's global efforts, and I'm really curious about the local efforts. I know Juneau Gastineau Rotary focuses a lot on youth programs, right?
Yes, we do a lot with youth programs. Some of the things we've done in the recent years, we've done the Fish Creek and Auk Lake shelters. We've helped out Riverbend School. We help out with the Juneau Food Bank. We've helped out with Trail Mix, and we serve at the Glory Hall once a month. We do bell ringing for the Salvation Army. I think we just put in a Gaga pit at DZ so that way we can start building that playground there that they need for the new new school going in there.
What's a Gaga pit?
It's a ball game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
I've seen my kids play it, but yeah.
Sixes and sevens, they say, right? I don't know.
I have
I'm
no
to
idea.
Pull the slang out. I don't know. You and I are not. That's not us.
Nope. Okay. I'm too old for that. We also have Rotary Youth Leadership Academy once a year. We try to send people to that or kids to that, and we host exchange students and send exchange students out. Right now, I don't think we have an exchange student this year, but I know we're working for it next year.
You know what's really cool about that, too, is I was a member of the Juneau Gastineau Rotary for a short time. I found the mornings a little difficult, but but I was there. And what I found so fascinating about it was that the exchange students that you've hosted that come here and live for like a year, and they're hosted by a family usually in the Rotary. They connect back. One of the meetings was somebody who was visiting Juneau and had stopped by the meeting, and this was like 5 years on. So they were a young adult. They were out doing their thing, and or people call in via the Zoom to say hi again. And so it's a connection that lasts. It's not just for that one moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you're sponsoring youth programs, exchange students. You're helping to build playgrounds. You're doing all the different things in town.
Yeah, we helped with the kitchen at Zach Gordon Center too. One point. So yeah.
And you're still serving. You mentioned I think you're still serving at the Glory Hall once a month as well, right?
Yeah. We are.
Wow, that's awesome. That's amazing work that you all do.
Thank you.
And so obviously this gets into a place where. You know, they need funds for that, right? You got to have funds. It's not obviously you have some dues that you put into a kitty and you raise money some other ways. But this thing that you're doing on Friday, the Outcry Auction and Silent Auction, does it have a bigger name?
That's pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah.
The 2025 Foundation and New Generations Live Outcry and Online Silent Auction Event. So it's pretty big.
That has a lot of words in it.
It has a lot of words in it.
It does. Okay, so that's happening this Friday. We said it's at the Moose Lodge. It's at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get up at 7 a.m.
Nope.
We all used to do it at 7 a.m. but now you do it in the afternoon so more people can show up, like myself. It's at 5 o'clock. It's going to be at the Moose Lodge,
mm-hmm.
And that is on Old Dairy Road.
Right.
And it's this Friday, November 21st.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about the difference between the silent auction and the outcry. Why is it called an outcry?
Well, because that's where we've got the live auctioneers. So, yeah, so that's our outcry. The silent auction actually is already underway. We opened it on Thursday. So anyone who registers can go ahead and get online and take a look at that. So if you are an early morning person, you can go ahead and do that at 4 or 5 a.m.
Right.
Because we're live right now.
Yeah, okay. And are there different things in the silent auction than there will be in the outcry part?
Yes, there
okay.
are.
Okay.
On the silent auction, pretty much any budget can find something there.
Mm-hmm.
There's little things like baby shoes or hats, and then you can get some bigger auction items. There's events. There's some private parties that you could buy a seat to. There's pretty fun things.
Is John Pugh still doing his barbecue?
His barbecue. If you know, you know.
Yeah, right?
It's pretty good stuff.
That's on the list, right?
I actually think I don't remember if that's an outcry or not this year. We have a lot of items that I've been sorting through. So,
well, you were telling me before we went on air that this has grown really immensely,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering because you had a lot of items previously, and you had a sort of modest goal of 15,000, but now you've upped that goal to 25,000.
Right.
And you have so many items available. So where are you getting the items? Are people donating them? Like John obviously is donating the dinner.
Right.
People donate things, but then are you also relying on businesses to give you things as well?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We have, oh my goodness, so many businesses that have donated, and it's actually on our auction site.
Mm-hmm.
All of their logos are posted there, and we will be obviously giving them kudos at the event as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 20 or 25 businesses actually donated to us this year.
Wow.
And the Outcry's got some amazing offerings. We're going to have an Allen Marine tour, a Coastal helicopter, and North Star helicopters both donated adventures, and so did the Wings Alaska,
mm-hmm.
as well as Alaska Seaplanes. So we've got some pretty neat offerings for the live Outcry.
I love that.
Yeah.
And how do people get registered? What's the best way to do that?
So the best way is to follow our link. I believe you've posted our flyer on your page. I hope so. Because
I will post a link to it on the episode for this that'll go up later today.
That would be great because I could not spell it out for you.
The link is long, right?
The link is very long. We'll also have a QR code on that flyer as well, so that'll be a lot easier. And you go into that, you register, be sure to scroll all the way down if you're doing it on your phone, and then once you're registered, you'll have to register your credit card because, you know, it's an auction.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose not to pay with that card, we'll figure that out at that night.
I see. Okay.
But then you just go ahead and go online. You can look at the items. The items that we have ready for the live outcry are posted for viewing, so you know what's going on. We'll also have a dessert auction about halfway through.
Mm.
Some fresh desserts that people can bid on and hopefully share with their friends. So we can all have some dessert. We are going to have appetizers at the event.
Okay.
Heavy appetizers and a token for a drink. And if you want more drinks, then you've got to buy more tokens, but
mm-hmm.
we'll work that out with you.
For sure.
Then we'll have some balloon prizes, some door prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's great community fellowship. One of our MCs is Assemblyman Paul Kelly.
Okay.
So there are other endless MC is Dan Blydorn, who's the land manager, I believe, for CBJ.
Oh, excellent. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And he's really funny. This will be our first year with Paul, but I know he's going to be great too.
Who does the auctioning? Is it those two?
Those
well?
Two. Okay, they're going to be emceeing the evening.
Okay,
yes.
So the MC and auction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's kind of fun. That's really cool.
It's a lot of fun.
I wonder if they have those skills, like, you know, the the 25, 25, 20, give me 20, give me.
We don't usually do it that way, but they have a really good comedic rapport.
Okay,
and so that's,
good.
Yeah, it's really good. Fun. And it's a great way, you know, if you've been looking at Rotary or thinking about it, it's also a good way to just get to know some Rotary members or, you know, meet other people in the community. It's just a really, really fun event.
I'm sure you can put into your favorite search engine, Juno Gasno Rotary Outcry and Silent Auction. I'm sure the algorithms will find it and bring that page up for you, but I will put a link on the show page for this episode as well.
And it's also on our Facebook page.
Facebook page. You guys should go to Juno Gasno Rotary on the Facebook and find it there. So Tammy, you know, you're talking about meeting Rotary, maybe people getting involved, because you're always looking for new members. It's a welcoming organization, open to anyone who wants to put service above self and help their community. What first brought you to Rotary?
Well, actually, I joined Rotary when I lived in Anchorage in, a long time ago. I don't want to say the date. and then I had my kids, and I took some time off of Rotary, and we moved here. And then my kids grew up, and I had a friend in the club who actually was our former foundation chair. And I came in to see the meeting, and she was giving the presentation about that year's auction, and foundation has been near and dear to my heart for years and years and years. And so I just got plugged right in. And so I've been with this Rotary Club since fall of 2018.
Okay. Yeah. And what's your favorite thing that the Rotary Club has done? What's your favorite personal thing?
Oh my goodness. I'm so involved in the auction for so much of the year that that's a large part of it.
Yeah. That's all right. I mean, the auction is your favorite part.
The auction is one of my favorite things for sure.
Because
and just the people.
Everything.
The people. Yeah. Okay. I've made some really good friends and gotten to know some really neat people with that.
That's excellent. And how do we find out more about the Rotary Club in general? Obviously, there's a Facebook page, but is there a main website for the Rotary too? Or would we be able to put that into our favorite search engine as well?
I believe you can put it into your search engine and find it that way. And if not, the Facebook page will get you a link there.
Yeah. Juno Gasno Rotary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And where do you all meet?
We meet at 7 a.m. on Thursdays at TK McGuire's Restaurant in the bar.
Right across the parking lot here from KTOO. That's excellent. Well, it's the give me that name again. Read that name out for me because I love it so much.
Juno Gasno Rotary's 2025 Foundation and New Generations Live Outcry and Online Silent Auction Event. I can't even say it without stumbling.
We need to come up with an acronym. That would be fun. I don't know if it would spells anything, but maybe we'll figure that out for next year.
I don't know. I don't know if it'll say everything we want it to say.
Right.
So.
You want to get it all in there. I totally get that. It's this Friday at Moose Lodge at 5 p.m. You do need to register. You can go to the link on their Facebook page. Just search Juno Gasno Rotary or put that into your favorite search engine, and you can find it and sign up. Because you don't have to be there. If you're just going to bid on silent auction items, you'll get those to the people after the auction.
Right. We'll deliver locally for silent auctions.
Yeah.
Also, the live auction, there is a $25 fee, but that just covers your drink and food.
The event
on
Friday.
Silent auction is no cost, but there is a cost for the live outcry. And if you can't find it, just come on in. We'll have a way for you to register right then and there.
Absolutely. Awesome. Tammy Bowman, thank you so much for coming on Juno Afternoon and telling us all about the outcry and silent auction with Juno Gasno Rotary. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Boston.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to listen to this week's Our Living Lands from Native Voice One. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Amy Bowers Cordalis is a Yurok attorney who has fought to protect her people's land, water, and way of life. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to Cordalis about her new book, The Water Remembers.
You spent much of your life advocating for the health of the Klamath River and Yurok homelands. Can you share your personal connection to the water, the land, and the fish, and how those relationships have shaped who you are and the work that you do?
Well, Ayakwe, thank you for having me. My relationship to the Klamath River, my home waters, to our home fish, to my culture, to our place, our high country, it has made me. You know, I exist as I am because of those relationships. I'm from the village of Rekwoy, right at the mouth of the river. And we've been there since the beginning of time. And we have always had a fishing-based way of life. And one thing my dad says is we have fished the same salmon runs in the same exact places for so long that we and the fish now share the same DNA. So I like to think I'm part Chinook salmon too.
Yeah. And the Yurok tribe has faced layers of challenges over the time, from climate change and industrial impacts to colonial systems that disrupted, you know, traditional ways of life. How do these intersecting factors continue to affect your community and your tribe today?
In the book, I talk about how in 2002, there was an active ecocide against my people and really all indigenous peoples along the Klamath River, where water was diverted away from the river. And as a result, water levels on the bottom part of the river were the lowest in history at the exact same time that a massive salmon run came home, and it caused the largest fish kill in American history. About 70,000 adult salmon died. You know, that moment of ecocide, that tragedy that we all experienced, it really launched us into the Undam the Klamath River movement, which has now led to the largest river restoration project in history. The river is cleaner, the water is colder. The river is just coming alive again. And, you know, I tried in my book, The Water Remembers, to really outline and tell the story there so that others could learn, right? And that maybe they could use the tools and techniques that we have used on the Klamath to preserve their own cultures, their own lands, their own waters. I titled the book, The Water Remembers, because it does. It remembers what it was like to be healthy and to support all this wonderful life and abundance. And I think it's working to get to that. And in many ways, so is humanity. So are we as humans. We have ancestral knowledge in our blood about what it was like to live in balance with nature, what it was like to be on a healthy planet.
You've done so much work across different areas, from law to advocacy to restoration. What inspired you to write The Water Remembers, and what do you hope readers take away from it?
My family inspired that, writing it. I was very lucky to be raised, you know, fishing in the Klamath at the family's traditional fishing holes. And so I just heard all these amazing stories. And then when I went through law school, I realized that none of these stories were in the law books or in any of the books that I had read going through, you know, my whole education. And the stories, the struggle of Indigenous peoples, you know, the fight, the resilience is so important. And it's such a critical part of the country's history that is untold. So it really is just a privilege to have the opportunity to write that story in the way that I wanted to write it.
Now here's Amy reading from her book.
I thought about my great-grandmother Geneva, who had lived through some of the most challenging times. She passed away in 1986, but I knew her. And I remembered her sweet smile and outstretched hand asking me to give her a hug when I was a young girl. My mind grew still and I faded away from the water, the boat, and the dead fish. And then it hit me. I felt a wave of electricity move through me like it was her. She traveled on the wind and whispered, "It's your turn. Go."
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Is so much more than we can see. Yet all there is in the universe inside of me. Look outside. an indicator of hope. There's so much more than we can see. Inside us is infinity. Letting go of your vanity will help you feel the energy of you and me. Looking outside, seeing inside, seeing outside, looking inside, looking outside, seeing inside, seeing outside, looking inside.
This is Juno Afternoon from a listener-supported KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Sunny Porch, the local group. It is the acoustic duo of Melanie Brown and Marcus Beckman. They recently released an album, The Sounds of This Place. And no, The Sound of This Place, not plural. The Sound of This Place. And we'll also soon be having an album release party. I'm grateful that they are joining us to play and talk about the creation of their music, this album, and what's in store in the coming year. Gunith Chi, Sha'i Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio. Wasiati, Melanie, how are you?
Doing all right.
Awesome. And Marcus Wasiati, how are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You made it in, I guess, yeah. Is what we're saying. We have our bass guitar because it was weather. What was going on?
Yeah, you know, you look out the window, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on out there right now,
It's not sure what it wants to do.
It's not sure, yeah. And you're telling me that we were kind of joking around, but I want to talk about this a little bit. So you powered Juno, apparently. Tell me about that.
Oh, well, I work for ALMP and work out at Snedisham. That's the hydroelectric facility that's about 30 miles south of Juno.
Okay.
It takes water from two lakes and powers most of Juno. There's, you know, some other lakes that contribute.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty wild, man. It's an amazing thing when you think about that is the thing that's getting the electricity to our town. Because I know one of the bigger outages that just happened was between there and here, right? Like something happened and they had to go fix it. And the lines or how the magic that happens is pretty amazing.
There's a lot of moving parts for sure.
Yeah. It's easy for us just to flick a switch on and off. And then also when they're not working, like, why aren't they working? But then it's actually a pretty complicated system. And the fact that it's, you know, hydropowered and all that is kind of interesting and fascinating and very, very cool.
Yeah.
It's the science of that is pretty amazing. Well, thank you for doing that work.
Hey, no problem. my pleasure.
You know what's kind of cool? The song that you just played, Infinity Inside,
we
started working on that song when I visited Marcus out at Snedisham. I flew out for a weekend to just spend some time out there because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's when we started making that song, Infinity Inside.
Interesting. Wow, that's really cool. So let's talk about the band, Sunny Porch. When did you create the band? How long has it been? It's been a couple years at least, right?
Yeah, well, we started playing music together in 2019.
Okay.
And played Folk Fest as Eminem, Melanie and Marcus. But then we came up with Sunny Porch because that summer was like...
I thought it was mangoes and melons.
Melons and mangoes. you recognize that reference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Great North. But we had an unusually sunny summer in 2019.
Okay.
And we enjoyed playing in Marcus's backyard on his back porch so much. And that's when we decided to call ourselves Sunny Porch.
Okay. And you have a song called Sunny Porch as well. Which was that one of the first songs you wrote?
No, the first song we actually, the order of the songs in our new album are we ended up you know, at first I was like, what would be the best flow for the order of the songs? And then in the end, we decided to record them in the order that we wrote them in. And then when we were done recording them, we realized, like, I think this is the best flow, just
interesting.
In the order that they were created in.
Oh, okay. That's fascinating. So 2019, that we're talking 6 years now.
Yeah, but we didn't even write our first song until 2022, I think.
Okay.
So up until that point, we were just learning songs together. We learned a lot of Bob Marley and the Wailers songs, and then started folding in some other songs, too.
I see. Okay. And how did you come to music, Melanie? Where did it begin for you?
When I was just a kid, I remember, like, singing along to the radio all the time. And then my parents made me take piano lessons, and I learned a little bit of flute. And then I sang in a band, you know, to get ready for Battle of the Bands in when I was going to school in Fairbanks with some of my theater friends. And then when I lived in New York and did theater in New York, I did a musical with Chris Barron from the Spin Doctors.
Oh, wow.
It was a musical adaptation of Faust.
Oh,
yeah, and we recorded a CD for that. And then after that, I just kind of, like, played on my own at home.
Okay. And Marcus, where did you come to music?
Well, I didn't start playing until I was probably in my early 20s. I started playing first instrument I really kind of fell in love with it was the banjo. And I played the banjo for quite a while, but you know, my friends were playing rock and roll, so I started playing bass. That's kind of how I got into bass, because I tried really hard to bring that banjo to the rock and roll practices.
Didn't quite make it. It didn't make
and
the
nobody
crossover.
Was playing, nobody was playing bass, so.
They're like, yeah, hey, pick up that other instrument over there, Marcus, if you want to join us. Yeah,
that's what happened.
And you play a bass acoustic guitar, right?
Yeah, for playing with Melanie, I have this great acoustic guitar bass.
Yeah, and it creates a really interesting sound. I know we've talked about it a little bit before when you were in, because it has like this, it's this like driving beat, right? We talked about the way that you create songs. And I want to talk about that again, because it's like, did you mention last time that it's sort of like on the same melody as what Melanie is singing, is what you're playing?
That's kind of what inspires the riffs or the phrases that I play are her vocals and her vocal melodies. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Marcus is the lead guitar, because my guitar playing is really basic. So
you're the rhythm.
I feel like I'm the timekeeper.
Uh-huh.
And Marcus is the lead.
I see. Okay.
So, yeah, which is kind of unusual, because normally you don't think of a bass as normally you don't think of a bass as the lead.
Yeah.
But Marcus is such a good bass player. He can play the lead.
Well, it creates this awesome sound. You know, it's a really unique sound, and then your voice too has a unique quality to it. So it creates this like unique genre in a way, because I don't think they're. I mean, do you define yourselves as some kind of genre, or do you feel like you're your own thing?
Oh, you know, I guess we're kind of our own thing. I haven't seen anybody kind of doing what we're doing. I mean, we're not super original, but like, just, you know, it's just that kind of thing. It's what we came up with. We weren't trying to be something different.
I guess you could say it's like an offshoot of sort of folk music,
I guess,
right?
Absolutely.
But it's like, and folk music can be anything, really,
right? Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
So tell me about your songwriting process. Like, how do you go about creating the songs? Do you create lyrics first, or do you find some riffs and then people are putting, who's doing the lyric writing? Who's doing that? Are you both doing that?
We both have. I'd say if you had to count who does the most lyrics, I probably do the most lyrics. But Marcus has done a lot to help us sort of find the way into the music in terms of, you know, like we find an entry point with a riff. Mm-hmm. Like the first song we wrote, he gave me a riff, mm-hmm. and then I was able to create a melody and then pair the words with where the melody went.
I see.
But then other times it's more like, oh, you know, like the subject sort of helps us dive into writing or creating a song. Like we'll give ourselves an assignment, right? Mm. You know, like another thing that kind of helped was we gave each other the assignment of writing a song about a cedar tree that grows at Marcus's place,
mm-hmm.
that I think might have sprouted on that really hot year in 2019.
Yeah. That the first song on our album, Song for Cedar, was a great starting point, and it was actually a song structure that had been written in the band that I was in at the time that was not going to get used, mm-hmm. and I really liked it, and I wanted to do something with it, and so there's actually, like, as far as music writing, my friend Jacob Sovalev actually did a lot to write that song, and, you know, that's kind of how we got started with that, just trying to find a foothold. We wrote that song, and it was off of kind of a chord progression and some melodies that I, you know, already had, and I didn't want it to lose it, kind of thing. I didn't
want to get it down. Yeah,
I wanted it to go somewhere, and so this is where what happened to it. You know, he wrote a lot of the melodies that you'll hear on the bass or whatever,
yeah.
and as the guitarist, and you know.
Well, that's a good segue. Let's take a listen to that song. I think that's good. And then we'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll have you guys play live here on the show. So this is the title track from The Sound of This Place, Sunny Porch's new album that just released, like, I want to say 2 weeks ago today, maybe, was it?
November 4th was
November
the release
4th.
Date.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that was about 2 weeks ago. So this is Song for Cedar. It's the title track off the album. Let's take a listen. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Oh, what song can I sing to a cedar who seems to have everything with roots in a place that is paradise to me? Oh, what song can I sing to a cedar who has left everything by going out far beyond their home? Where is home? Is it inside or outside of you? Think of all the places home can be. Oh, what song can I sing to a cedar away from all that they knew by going out beyond their home? You may feel far from your kind, far from the place you think of as home, but you are making a way for those to come. Oh, what song can I sing to a cedar who has put everything into growing new ground for its home? Thank you.
That's Song for Cedar from Sunny Porch's new album, The Sound of This Place. I guess it's your debut album. Is it your debut album as well?
Yeah. We've never recorded anything before. It took us a while to get to this point.
Yeah.
These songs have been living with us for a while now. And so it felt really good to finally have a record of these songs.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for joining us here on Juno Afternoon on KTO. I'm talking with Melanie Brown and Marcus Beckman, who is Sunny Porch, and they're a local Juno group, and they created this album. It just released a couple weeks ago. You can find it on all the streaming services. And like you said, Melanie, it's so great to have the album. Like, you decided to record all these songs, you put them in the order that you wrote them. That's how they are on the album. That's kind of a cool journey to listen through, I guess, too. Why did you decide to make the album now?
Well, I think now, because it was the first time that all the elements came together, you know, because you have to have a space or a studio to record in,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have a sound engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept trying to put all those things together, but there were just different aspects that would kind of fall away and the plans would fall apart.
So but, where did you record?
We ended up going to LA, which was kind of strange. There's a woman named Anne Boudreau who used to live here in Juneau.
Uh-huh.
She worked out at the Ted Stevens NOAA Center.
Okay.
She's a fisheries person. And I met her at a Western Alaska Interdisciplinary Science Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And STEM learning is now starting to incorporate the arts. So now it's STEAM learning. There's still kind of like a parenthesis around the A because scientists aren't quite sure like how art fits in with it all. But I was able to share our songs at this conference these are interdisciplinary kind of songs.
Mm.
This music is—it's like it brings the environment is incorporated into these these lyrics, and then the last effort that I had made had fallen apart, and just when I found out that it wasn't what I was trying to make happen wasn't going to work, Anne asked me if we had recorded our songs yet, and then if we would be willing to travel. And I was like, well, yeah, I think we might go to Seattle because we can't make it happen in Juneau. And there's lots of studios in Seattle. And then she said, would you think about going to L.A.? And I was like, what? Why L.A.? And it turns out that her brother is a music or a sound engineer and a musician. And he's actually done a lot of really amazing sound engineering work. And we had this grant from Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Shout out to the Jack.
Yeah, for sure.
To record our songs. And, you know, I said, I don't know if we have enough to pay him. Like, I mean, it sounds like he's really legit. And she said, well, he'll do it if I tell him to.
Right. He's my brother.
And he did.
That's amazing.
We figured out some time just before I started my fishing season in Bristol Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got back just 2 days before my fishing season began.
Wow.
And we had two very full days in his studio, in his backyard studio. And it was made us feel like professionals.
Yeah, you know? It's so cool. I mean, I love that our local scene, that everyone has albums that they're releasing or working on. And I do know, like, they do have to sometimes go outside to Seattle or Anchorage or to somewhere else. I know, you know, local Gustavus producer Justin Smith, who's done a couple of the albums for folks here in town, has, you know, used our downstairs studio to record stuff, which is kind of wild because it's not really a sound studio down there, but he turns it into one. Like, you have to kind of make it work, right? So finding a way and having it sort of almost drop in your lap to be able to say, hey, I've got somebody who can do this for you. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to get to L.A., which is, you know, that's a plane ride, right? So that's kind of not that hard. I love that for you. That sounds so cool.
We were able to use miles for our tickets and points for a hotel room.
Nice. That's all good. That's all good. And now you're going to have an album release party at some point in the new year. You're not quite sure when yet, though. Obviously, it depends on schedules and when Marcus can be in town away from work, right, to figure all that out. Do you have it? Have you nailed it down yet, or are we close?
We haven't nailed it down. I wish we could say that we have a date, but we're still working on it.
January, February-ish, maybe?
I would like it to be in January because that's usually everybody is sort of in a lull time after the holidays.
Right.
And just kind of going, whew. Yeah. You made it through the holidays.
And this would be a nice pick-me-up. You're going to donate any proceeds from that album release party. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So right around Native New Year, you know, AFN Week, Elders and Youth, I was up in Anchorage, and leading up to that week, the typhoon hit in western Alaska, Typhoon Heilong, and it was really hard because, that's a joyous time for Indigenous people in Alaska. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks forward to that every year. But there was also this huge hurt that people were feeling. You know, people came in, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, I was feeling the weight of people who were, like, going to go back to nothing because their houses floated away. Or either that or just not go back because they couldn't. And it was just, like, such a helpless feeling, like, because, you know, like, of course you want to feel like you can help in some way, but unless you have a lot of resources at your disposal, it's really hard to be able to do that. You know, like, I can't afford the time to go and do recovery or help, you know, help or relief because I have to work and then I don't have disposable income to donate either, you know, so it was this kind of this awful, helpless feeling. And ideally, we wanted to have a release party in conjunction with, you know, like when the album went out into the world. But I remember finding some peace when I realized, like, oh, we could do a digital release. And if we make any proceeds off of the sale of our songs, then that's how we can give. I don't know if we're going to make money off of this or not, you know, but if we make anything, 50% of whatever we get, you know, in our proceeds is going to go into the relief fund for rehoming people.
That's fantastic. One of the ways you can support is Bandcamp has wonderful artist revenue. You can stream it on the other streaming services, but you can actually buy the album on Bandcamp. You can go to sunnyporch.bandcamp.com. You can pay for the album, and then it's yours. You have the MP3s and all that kind of stuff, and then that money will go to the artists, and you're going to donate some of that money towards the relief.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's interesting, too, because you were saying, you know, your songs talk about the land, talk about the place, and talk about home, too. Like, this is, and I mean, it's called The Sound of This Place, right? It's all about being here and being on the land and having it be home. And so that's really wonderful of you that you're able to sort of take some of that money, whatever it might be, and help those in need. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. I'm so glad the album got made. I'm so glad that you all have something that you can share with the world in terms of your songs. Would you be sharing a couple songs with us live here to take us out today? That would be fantastic. What are you going to sing for us today?
We're going to sing a cover song that we just learned together because we do have when we were recording with Phil Bedreau, at his studio in Sepulveda, we recorded some cover songs, and those are going to be released separately in a package called Songs We Wish We Wrote. Because they're songs that, you know, like, helped us learn how to play together. But we just learned this other song that is very much in keeping with the theme of home and... So one of the songs we're going to share is our most recent cover song that we learned together called These Days Are Numbered by The Head and the Heart.
Okay.
And then we're going to sing a song about traditional ecological knowledge. We just call it tech.
Okay.
And it's about, you know, basically learning from the land, being on the land and observing and the knowledge that it's meaningful. It's just as meaningful as hard science.
Yeah.
And I hope that there can be more collaborative opportunities between people who possess traditional knowledge and scientists when
Excellent.
It comes to research.
Excellent. Cool. Well, why don't you step up onto the lovely red carpet stage here in the KTO Studio 2K. And that song, Tech, that they're going to sing is the last track on their album. This is Sunny Porch, who is a local Juno band made up of Melanie Brown and Marcus Beckman here on Juno Afternoon. Their album, The Sound of This Place, came out a couple weeks ago. It's available on all the streaming services, but you can also support the artist directly by going to sunnyporch.bandcamp.com. You can also go to their website, sunnyporchalaska.com, and I'm sure you can follow them on all the social medias as well. So this is Sunny Porch live from the red carpet stage here on Juno Afternoon.
Thank you, Boston.
Thank you very much.
1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3.
There's always hope, hope in death. It brands these bonds, refines the rest. 'Cause these days are numbered. This life absolute. I need this faith to keep me walking. Keep me alive. Oh, darling. Oh, darling. Won't you please take me home? Oh, darling. My sweet darling. Won't you please keep me warm? We must strive to be like the moon. Be kind, distracted by its tune. 'Cause these days are numbered. This life absolute. We all complain if it rains or it shines, but we're never mad at the moon. Oh, darling. Oh, darling. Won't you please keep me warm? Oh, darling, my sweet darling. Won't you please take me home?
Yeah. Okay. All right. That is Sunny Porch here on Juno Afternoon. They are also going to take us out now with their song Tech, which is the closing track on their album here on Juno Afternoon. Thank you so much for coming in today, Gunath Cheesh.
It's always such a pleasure to come in and talk to you, Boston.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You.
Here's Sunny Porch live on the red carpet stage.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's nice to be recognized for what we know, but please don't just throw us a bone.
we are connected to complete systems. We feed ourselves from our home. Our knowledge comes from completeness, the completeness of being on the land, a land that has not yet been broken at the hands of greedy humans, of datas that cannot recreate what's been broken. The facts won't make us whole again. What we have already is so perfect. Come back to the land. Our knowledge comes from completeness, the completeness of being on the land, a land that has so much to teach us. If we would only stop and listen, tech is not just anecdotal or quaint. Our traditions plug us directly into place. Ecologies that are functioning and alive. What a pleasure to be in this kind of space. Our knowledge comes from completeness, the completeness of being on the land, a land that has not yet been broken at the hands of greedy humans. Our knowledge comes from completeness, the completeness of being on the land, a land that has so much to teach us. If we would only stop and listen.
Yeah, Gunnath Cheesh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Programming support comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Club, Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Gunnath Cheesh.